Report, WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Centara RMH closes its pediatric unit. As food insecurity grows, we visit one pantry in Charlottesville that's been serving the community for 20 years. And this weekend, local contractors and carpentry students will kick off a build blitz for the homeless. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, September 25th. Centara RMH Medical Center in Harrisonburg is closing its pediatric unit. The Daily News Record reports that the closure reflects a national trend indicating a decline in pediatric admissions and a shortage in pediatric care staff. The hospital says that in place of the pediatric unit, pediatric patients brought to RMH will primarily be treated in the emergency department. A man has been arrested after a loaded firearm was found in possession of a six-year-old at Orange Elementary School last week. The Daily Progress reports that Drakkar Lee Rawlings, a 31-year-old resident of the town of Orange, was arrested and charged with multiple gun crimes. Orange Elementary School staff contacted the sheriff's office on September 16th after an instructional assistant reported finding a loaded gun in a six-year-old's backpack. The school was placed under lockdown while sheriff's deputies seized the firearm and secured the campus. Orange County Sheriff's Office said that investigators do not believe that the child knowingly carried the loaded gun to school or had any intention of using it. As we've been reporting this year, local demand for food pantry services is way up. WMRA's Aisha Pirga continues our occasional series on food aid with a visit to a pantry in Charlottesville that's been serving the community for 20 years.
Pet food and diapers were unexpected items I spotted during a visit to Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry in Charlottesville. Jane Colony Mills, the food pantry's executive director, showed me around recently during a distribution hour. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, the team converted all of their distribution to outside and decided to keep that model after the pandemic. In addition to 7 full-time and 7 part-time staff, the pantry has 125 volunteers a week. Groceries are distributed 4 days a week, with Tuesdays by appointment and pickups on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. The pickups are first come, first served. Mills tells me that every day they prepare a menu that shows what items they have available. They also review it with people receiving the items to make sure they're getting what they choose.
If there's dental limitations, if someone's diabetic, if someone's got heart disease, we want to make sure we're giving them something that's safe for them to eat. So that's one of the areas where we've really kind of focused, is making sure that most of the food we give out is healthy and that we're giving people food that they want.
Mills said they're trying to supplement the food that people need over the course of the month. The goal is to provide a week's worth of groceries each time someone visits and for everyone in the house. And they're selective about what they provide.
Anything that we would not eat ourselves, and that's our rule, goes to into buckets, and we have pig farmers to pick it up.
While the quantity of groceries varies depending on household size, there is a base amount of food that everyone receives. Mills says they try to make sure to refer people to other pantries if they have other needs or show them how to enroll in SNAP if they qualify. The pantry does not restrict where their patrons may come from and allows food pickups 2 times a month, but Mills said that if someone makes a 3rd or 4th visit, they will get food.
My feeling is if somebody makes the effort to get here,
they need it.
Yeah.
The pantry picks up donations from 9 different grocery stores every week and has a partnership with the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. They also receive donations from sources such as individuals, foundations, and businesses.
We buy the milk and eggs, and we cannot be every household's single source of milk and eggs because, yeah. We order 900 dozen every 2 weeks. So we've really perfected this process. The only thing that's hard is on a hot day like today, it's supposed to be 100 today.
Yeah. The door's cold.
They also added a kitchen after hearing from many people who didn't know how to use some of the food that they were getting. The pantry also features a mobile kitchen and an induction cooker.
So we built the kitchen to look like what you might have in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might have only a microwave. Some people might have a microwave and a stovetop, but no oven. Some people might have only an air fryer.
She also said that it's important to be culturally responsive to food preferences.
try to do foods that people will recognize. So being culturally responsive to food is really important to us. Since we have a lot of Afghans and we have a lot of Latinos, we try to provide food that they're going to recognize.
And the pantry is more than just food distribution to those who need it. Monica Davis, who is one of the pantry's dietitian nutritionists, told me about other pantry projects, including a monthly newsletter and cooking classes. Davis says they try to use recipes that are simple, don't take a lot of ingredients, would have a wide appeal, and are healthy. As we previously reported, demand for food aid this year is high, and it's been increasing since the pandemic. 11,000 people got food from the pantry in July, and Mills says that she budgeted more this year than ever to buy food. The pantry's 2023 impact report shows a 49% increase in people receiving groceries compared to the previous year, with more than 100,000 individuals and roughly 27,000 households receiving groceries.
We try to be generous. I mean, there's no shortage of food in Charlottesville. There's just a shortage of access.
Despite the exceptionally hot day when I toured the food pantry, staff and volunteers were working to provide groceries to those who made the visit, a sign of support for people who need it. For WMRA News, I'm Aisha Pirge.
You can learn more about Lowe's and Fish's and check out our series on food insecurity at WMRA.org or on the app. Well, this weekend, local contractors and carpentry students will kick off a build blitz. The goal is to construct 9 homes in 9 days to benefit people facing homelessness. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
On Saturday morning, a bell will ring and construction crews will start framing 9 houses at Valley Career and Technical Center in Fishersville. This is the second build blitz organized by Brad Bryant, a carpentry instructor at the school and president of the Augusta Home Builders Association.
I want the students to understand the community giving side of things.
They've received grants for the Blitz from the Home Builders Association of Virginia, the National Association of Home Builders, and other local and state organizations. Manufacturers have provided more than $50,000 of donated materials, including windows and trim. The 14 by 32 foot homes will each have 1 bedroom and 1 bath. They're ideal for an accessory dwelling unit or a small cottage village. All next week,
we will put in all the interior facilities, as in getting it ready for rough-in, which would be the electrical, HVAC, plumbing. Contractors coming in and working right alongside our students during their class time to get those things done.
Volunteers can register ahead of time to help paint and assemble. Over the second and final weekend, the builders,
as we're jokingly saying, they trick them out. They'll start putting some of their styles and their touches, their cabinetry, their wall coverings.
Bryant plans to auction off only as many homes as needed to recoup their costs, and then give the rest away. He's working with a few local organizations to receive the donated homes, with the goal of housing veterans and foster kids aging out of the system. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
To learn more about the auction and volunteer opportunities, visit WMRA.org or check the app. An online insomnia treatment developed at the University of Virginia School of Medicine can help caregivers who suffer from insomnia. In a press release, the school says new research shows that the program called Sleep Healthy Using the Internet, or SHUTI, can help those losing sleep while caring for a family member. The results suggest the online format of the program can help people access insomnia treatment who otherwise could not because of their demanding caregiving responsibilities. The research is published in a pair of papers in the Annals of Behavioral Medicine. Virginia is among the few states to permanently bar convicted felons from voting. A challenge to that ban went before a federal court on Tuesday. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
Virginia's ban on felon voting dates back to a 1902 amendment to the state's constitution. 30 years earlier, the Virginia Readmissions Act, or VRA, was passed by Congress, which allowed the Commonwealth to re-enter the Union after the Civil War, but barred state laws that limit black voting. And while Tuesday's hearing mostly focused on whether or not the plaintiff felons had the right to sue over disenfranchisement, it often drifted into the larger issue of post-Reconstruction lawmaking that targeted black voters. Here's Circuit Judge Paul Niemeyer, one of the Richmond-based Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals' more conservative jurists, suggesting the VRA could have been violated by Virginia since the 1902 amendment.
The right to vote was guaranteed by the federal act and has been infringed by the Virginia Constitution.
Kevin Gallagher is with the Virginia Attorney General's office and defended the amendment. He said the VRA was limited in scope and its only purpose was to admit Virginia into the Union via representation in Congress. And if that's true, he argued the only remedy was for Congress itself to challenge Virginia's offending law and remove the state from the Union.
You have to look at the nature of what the Virginia Readmission Act is. It is a contract, essentially, between Congress and Virginia.
But Circuit Judge Roger Gregory, long an advocate for civil rights, pushed back.
It's not a contract in that sense. It's a contract to make our country equal before a civil war to try to heal our nation's wounds.
The judges did not signal when they intend to rule on the matter. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Republicans are praising Virginia's governor for job growth while criticizing President Biden for inflation. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports on the complicated politics of credit for the economy.
Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is taking credit for record job growth in Virginia. That's despite what he calls inflationary headwinds from Washington. John Provo at Virginia Tech's Center for Economic and Community Engagement says jobs and inflation are both important metrics, but he says wages are also an important factor to consider.
Overall, in the economy, wage growth has not slowed as fast as inflation seems to be slowing. So I think that it's not just a two-part question, it's at least a three-part question.
Now, aside from the dynamics of how regional economies work, J. Miles Coleman at the University of Virginia's Center for Politics says there's also an important political dynamic.
A perfect example of that was back in the 1980s when the economy was really growing under Ronald Reagan. It was the Democrats who would win the governor's races in that decade, and that's something they could kind of take to their kind of credit.
He says if the situation were reversed and Virginia had a Democratic governor and a Republican president, both parties would be trying to take credit for jobs while also attacking their rivals over inflation. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, the Virginia War Memorial held its annual Gold Star ceremony last week, honoring the memory of Virginians listed as missing in action, whose remains were recently recovered. The federal government continues attempts to locate deceased soldiers who went missing in action, using forensic science and DNA testing to scour former conflict zones. This year, six Virginians were recovered, an almost unprecedented number. Clay Mountcastle is the director of the Virginia War Memorial.
Just by circumstance, a large number of Virginians were identified in the past year, and it's really a great day to be able to add six gold stars to our MIA wall and let our visitors know that those Virginians have been identified and are no longer missing.
There are more than 80,000 Americans currently listed as MIA. About 1,200 of them are from Virginia. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.